Shalom and blessings. I am Rachel Corey, and this is Prophecy Viewpoint. Today, we're going to consider our amazing destiny. We will become a kingdom of priests. For those of you who just really want to have something to follow in your hands, a visual, please open another window. Go to the written studies of the Eighth Day book and print out the study. You're free to do that. They're copyrighted. All we ask is that you give credit to this website and to this author. Or you can follow in one window while you listen in another window. All right, let's continue our amazing destiny, a kingdom of priests. Before Israel had a king, she was governed by priests from the tribe of Levi and the family of Aaron. The prophet Moses led Israel out of Egypt to Mount Sinai, and on that mountain, the Lord gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Then he commanded the construction of a tabernacle. And then, after the Golden Calf Rebellion, the Lord chose the family of Aaron for the priesthood. After Moses and his successor Joshua died, the priests of the tabernacle continued to serve as mediators between the people and Yahweh. They taught the people right from wrong according to the Torah. They made atonement for the people through animal sacrifices. They maintained the tabernacle, the golden altar of incense, the table of showbread, the veils, the golden ark of the covenant. The priests also served as judges of last resort. So teachers, judges, their role extended far beyond just simply offering animal sacrifices or incense or showbread. The high priest wore the stones of judgment on his shoulders. This was the role of the priesthood during the period known as the Old Testament. All of this, the tabernacle, the priesthood, the sacrifices, the ceremonies, the appointed feasts, all of it was an amazing prophecy of Christ and his work of redemption. The tabernacle was a symbolic representation of heaven itself. Hebrews 8, 2 through 5 calls it the true tabernacle. The one on earth is called the earthly tent. The high priest of the tabernacle was a type, T-Y-P-E. A type is a living symbol. And the high priest on earth was a living symbol of Christ to come. He is now our high priest in heaven. That's what the book of Hebrews is all about. He makes atonement for us, presenting his own blood as the perfect offering. The priests who were under the high priest were also a type, a prophetic symbol, a symbolic prophecy. They represented the coming government of Messiah on this earth. All those who believe in Christ are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Revelation 20, verse 6 says, "Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection." That's the one at the second coming. Over such, the second death has no power. Why? Because they receive immortal spiritual bodies when they are changed in a moment by Christ. They will be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Several questions immediately come to mind. Why do we need priests after Jesus has come in glory? Priests were mediators. Who's there to mediate for? What need will there be for judges to settle disputes? Who's going to dispute with anybody after Jesus has come? Who will these priests teach? Who will they govern? The study will present my answers to these questions. Scripture describes three groups of people in terms of their choice to serve the Lord or to rebel against him. First, those who loved and served the Lord, those who had a faith which resulted in fruits, they will be removed from this earth when Christ returns in glory. They will go with Christ to the Father's house. You know, I've already presented my reasons for believing that no one remaining on this earth will survive the last plagues. That's in the study Millennium. I have presented studies to explain why I do not believe in a secret rapture followed by 7 years, when Jews have another chance to get it right through keeping the law. No one was ever justified by keeping the law. That's what Paul says. No one ever has been or ever will be justified by keeping the law. So that's just, no. So those who are Christ's will go with him to the Father's house, where he has prepared a place. They will go there for 1,000 years, while this earth will remain desolate and uninhabited, except for Satan and his angels, I believe, because the scapegoat was banished to the uninhabited place. Second group, those who knowingly and persistently refuse to serve the Lord. These are what we call the lost. These will face judgment on that day and then death. They will die in the plagues and their bodies will burn up with the earth. If you want to stop now, you can go to a study called Judgment Day if you need to confirm these things. All right, that's only two groups. Who's the third one? The third group is the rest. Revelation 20, verse 5. But the rest of the dead did not live again until 1,000 years were finished. They did not live again. That means they were not resurrected. They remain asleep in death for 1,000 years. Who are the rest? Well, we got the ones who knowingly served Christ. We got the ones who knowingly rebelled against Christ and remained in rebellion, unrepentant rebellion. The rest would have to be those who never chose for either side. And I'm not talking about willfully chose neutrality, because there is no such thing. I'm talking about those who lived and died in ignorance of Yahweh. They could not choose to serve him because they were unaware of his existence. If God is just, then he must give these people the opportunity to learn of him and to choose him. This is not a second chance for those who persistently and knowingly refuse him. No. This is a first opportunity for those who lived and died without knowing. So who fits in this group? Well, millions of people have died before the missionaries could reach them. Millions died as infants or young children. Others may have suffered from a mental disability. Or they may be people who have been taught all their lives that the God of the Bible is a false God, or that God never beget a son. They may have been abused by parents who claim to worship the God of the Bible. I mean, such a circumstance would cause the person to reject the beliefs of her abuser, his abuser. Whatever the reason, such persons never received the information they needed to allow for a free will choice to love and serve God or to resist his spirit and to rebel against him. Our God is just, and justice demands that every created being be allowed to make a choice. These people will not be resurrected at the second coming. They will remain in the sleep of death for 1,000 years through the seventh millennium. They will be raised to life again at the eighth millennium. The eighth day, I call it, because with the Lord, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. That's 2 Peter 3:8. Now, these people, the rest, who are resurrected at the eighth millennium, they will need someone to teach them and to govern them and to settle their disputes, won't they? Yes. These are not mature Christians we're talking about. No. We're talking about Mayans. Ancient Mayans who used to cut people's hearts out. We're talking about ancient pagans and modern pagans who really do not know. These people will be resurrected with physical, mortal flesh and blood, just like you and I have today. They are not resurrected immortal. They still have to choose, but they will need governance and they will need instruction. Who's going to do this instruction? Who's going to govern? From Mount Sinai, the Lord promised Israel, "If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." So here we have, that was Exodus 19, verse 5 and 6, by the way. Here we have the Lord's original intent and purpose for Israel, for calling the descendants of Jacob. They were to be a kingdom of priests. And remember, God says his word will be accomplished. Will be. No matter how many detours intervene. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, verse 9, verse 10, speaking to believers after the resurrection. "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, Who's he talking to? Believers, after the resurrection of Christ. You're being built up to be a priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Who's this holy nation? Israel. Israel is the one that God said would become a priesthood, right? A kingdom of priests. And now Peter is talking to believers after the resurrection of Christ, and he says, you're being built up to be that priesthood. That one that God talked about from Mount Sinai. You and I are grafted in to Israel, the Israel of God. And we're not talking about DNA here or DNA descent. We're talking about the Israel of faith. All faithful believers are grafted into Israel. Therefore, all faithful believers will become the Lord's priesthood. The unfaithful, the unbelieving, are cut off from Israel and from the people of God. Back to Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. They will become priests of God and of Christ. They reign with him 1,000 years. Can we connect any more dots here? Any more verses that make sense in the light of this understanding that we who believe in Christ will become priests? Revelation 2:17, in the messages to the seven churches, the Spirit says, to him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat. The hidden manna, the manna which is hidden. The 12 loaves of the showbread were placed in the first apartment under the tent. They were set on a golden table, 12 loaves, inside the first apartment of the sanctuary tent, and only the priests ate of this bread. It was hidden from the gaze of anyone who might come into the courtyard, right? Because it was inside the tent. And it's inside the first apartment of that tent. And the Spirit says, anyone who overcomes will get to eat of that hidden manna. Wow. If the tabernacle was a copy of heaven itself, and Christ is the bread from heaven, John 6, 32-33, then only those who overcome will partake of Christ in heaven itself. Make sense? Faithful believers will become priests. And they, only priests, could enter the house, the tent, the temple. But that's where the manna was. So this tells you we're going to become priests, and we get to go into that temple, which is heaven itself, and we get to partake of the hidden manna, and the manna is Christ. He's the bread from heaven. Another verse, Revelation 1, verse 6, Revelation 5, verse 9 and 10, the 24 elders proclaim that Christ has made us kings and priests. And priests. But where will we reign? Well, what do the 24 elders say? You have made us, you were slain, that has to be talking about Jesus, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. On the earth. will be priests, will reign or rule with him over the nations, will reign with him as kings and priests on the earth. Now the 24 elders say they are redeemed from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. These are not all Hebrews, much less all Levites, much less all descended from the family of Aaron. They're from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. These are not Levirate Aaronic priests. So there's been a change in the priesthood. And I might also mention that in Christ, there is neither male nor female. In the resurrection, for believers, there will be no sexual orientation, no marriage, no giving in marriage. Therefore, faithful believers who lived as women during this age will also become priests of God and of Christ. I mean, Christ said the first will be last and the last first, right? When it comes to men versus women, women have certainly been last in this world and have acted the part of a servant more often. I might just mention about the 24 courses of elders, or the 24 elders in Revelation. This is referring to 1 Chronicles chapter 24. The allusion comes from there. By the time of King David, the eligible descendants of Aaron had become too numerous for every one of them to officiate at the same time in the temple. So King David divided the priesthood into 24 courses. Each course would come up to serve for 2 weeks during the year in the temple. The reference to 24 elders in the book of Revelation, I believe, is telling us that there are 24 courses of elders, not just 24 of them, not just 24 individuals. Where'd they come from? Well, I believe these elders were resurrected by Jesus Christ after he was raised by his Father. It's in Matthew 27, verses 51 and 53. They ascended with Christ, and they are presently in heaven. They were the spring harvest of which Christ was the first fruits. There will be a summer harvest at the second coming and a fall harvest during the eighth day. Remember, the eighth day was the very last festival or feast of the year, the ceremonial year, which was 7 months long. Began with the 10th day of Nisan and Passover, ended with the eighth day. These 24 elders who are being prepared for the priesthood and will reign on the earth, they're only the first wave, as it were, the first wave. There'll be two more waves, two more harvests. In Revelation 2, verse 26, also one of the messages to the seven churches, he who overcomes, to him I will give authority over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the potter's vessels shall be broken to pieces. We reign with him, with Christ, who has authority over the nations. We share in his authority. So, who was the government of Israel? The priests. And who will become the government of this world once Christ reigns? His priests, redeemed Israel. 2 Timothy 2 verse 12 says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. We reign with him as his priesthood. Revelation 3:21 says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." We share the throne with Christ in the sense that we are an extension of his authority. As priests, we will teach the law, judge, settle disputes, administer justice, and offer up spiritual sacrifices. So we get a picture of the government of King Yeshua Messiah when he reigns on the earth. We have the 12 apostles. You'll sit on 12 thrones governing the 12 tribes of Israel. You have the 24 elders, and you have the priesthood of redeemed Israel. God's plan was to use Israel as his redeemed priesthood to teach and govern the nations. I mean, the original Israel kind of messed it up. But God's will cannot be lost. His will come to pass. And he will finally accomplish what he started out to do. So when will redeemed Israel begin to minister as priests on the earth? Answer, not until the eighth day. Because they first must be consecrated. We must always go back to the original tabernacle, the original priesthood, because they are the template. They are the prophecy. They are the type. We look at that to see what will become. What was the command? Leviticus chapter 8, Exodus chapter 29, verses 7 to 35. 7 days you shall consecrate them. 7 days. Wash them with water, that's the baptism of the Spirit. Dress them in white, priestly garments. Anoint the head of Aaron with oil, representing the Holy Spirit. Kill the bull for the sin offering and the ram for the whole burnt offering, both represent Christ. Kill the ram of consecration, that's a symbol that the priest was consecrating himself fully. He was entering into a blood covenant. And finally, remain at the door of the tent, the tabernacle, until the eighth day. Remain at the door of the tent until the eighth day. So they're inside the courtyard and they are at the door. That's the spot between the altar of burnt offering and the first veil into the tabernacle proper inside the tent. They were to remain there for 7 days. Moses was a type, a symbolic prophecy of Christ, our true shepherd. And as Moses consecrated the first priests of the tabernacle, so Christ will consecrate his priesthood, the redeemed of this earth. If a day is 1,000 years, then 7 days would represent 7,000 years. The priesthood of Christ will not be fully consecrated until the end of the seventh millennium. The first priests, Aaron and his sons, did not begin to minister as priests until the eighth day. Leviticus 9, verses 1 through 7. On the eighth day, they began to minister as priests. So if the Lord, with the Lord, 1,000 years is a day, and a day is 1,000 years, then when will we begin to minister as priests? At the eighth millennium. I mean, Aaron and his sons were individuals consecrated for 7 literal days. No human being has lived for 7,000 years. For the fulfillment of the prophecy, we must view all of those to be consecrated as one priesthood, one collective group. And that collective group, which began with Adam nearly 6,000 years ago, will continue on through the 7th millennium until the 8th millennium, the 8th day. At that time, Israel redeemed will be a kingdom of priests and will begin to reign on the earth. In Hebrews 9, verse 24, says Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands. In other words, the tabernacle in the wilderness was made with hands, and so was the temple of Solomon, and so was the temple of Herod, and so was the temple of Zerubbabel. And it says they're copies of the true. Christ has not entered those holy places, those temples. He has entered heaven itself. Heaven itself is the true tabernacle. It's the original. All the rest are copies. I don't know about you, but I don't feel ready to govern anybody. I need preparation. I need healing before I could represent Christ to govern the nations. Every believer, regardless of age, regardless of experience, will need time and training. Those especially who lived before the death of Christ will need to understand how prophecy was fulfilled in Jesus the Christ. Everyone will have hundreds of questions to ask concerning the actions of God. We need to spend time directly with the Master. The wounds we have sustained during this lifetime will need to be healed without scars. Bad habits will need to be erased. Everybody thinks it happens instantaneously when you come out of the grave and you're resurrected. I beg to differ. That would represent mind control to me, and I do not believe the Lord engages in mind control. If he was going to use that easy button, and by gum, he should have used it in the Garden of Eden and skipped this whole mess. Before we can represent the Lord to the nations, we will need to spend 1,000 years learning about the Great War and the rebellion and the reconciliation and the mysteries of God's character and government. I like to think of it as the New Jerusalem University, where we will study the divine model of governance. We need to be healed from the effects of selfish and defensive thinking. Maybe the healing is what takes 1,000 years. I wouldn't be surprised. But just as in the ancient type, we will not begin to serve as priests until the 8th day, the 8th millennium. Then we will reign with him on the earth. The place of preparation in the Father's house. John 14:2, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I will come back and take you to myself, and I'll take you to my Father's house. The priests in the coming kingdom of Messiah on the earth will offer up spiritual sacrifices. They'll teach the law, they'll judge, they'll settle disputes, they'll administer justice. Examples of spiritual sacrifices: Hebrews 13:15, praise and thanks to God. Philippians 2:17, service of faith. Philippians 4:18, gifts to the poor. Matthew 25:34-40, visiting the sick or those in prison. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 13, offerings in support of the ministry. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6, our lives dedicated to God. Our lives dedicated even to the point of death. Now, the priests in the coming kingdom cannot be killed, according to Revelation. They are no longer subject to death. And they cannot suffer the second death. Ezekiel 28, verse 25 and 26 gives a glimpse of the future priesthood. The Lord says, when I've gathered the house of Israel from the peoples among whom they were scattered, and am hallowed in them in the sight of the Gentiles, then they will dwell in their own land. They will dwell safely, build houses, plant vineyards. They will dwell securely. Ezekiel 20, verse 40 to 44 says that all of Israel, all of them in the land, will serve the Lord on my holy mountain. Where's this holy mountain? Jerusalem. And he says, I will accept you as a sweet aroma, an offering. Christ will present us as his offering to his Father. 1 Corinthians 15. And the Lord said, I will be hallowed in you before the Gentiles. That means the Gentiles are still around. Living persons are presented to the Lord as an offering. Yes. New Testament, we're told to present ourselves as living sacrifices, right? Let me read you one of my favorite passages. Isaiah 61, verses 4 through 9. They shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers, that means non-Israelites, shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the foreigner, that means non-Israelites, will be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you, Israel, shall be named the priests of the Lord. You will be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the servants of our God. You will eat the riches of the Gentiles. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Double honor. That was the inheritance of the firstborn. Instead of confusion, they will rejoice in their portion. In their land, they shall possess double. That was the inheritance of the firstborn. It was not the inheritance of the Aaronic priests. Because the Lord said to the Levirate Aaronic priesthood, you have no inheritance in the land, for the Lord is your inheritance. So we cannot be talking about Levite Aaronic priests in this passage. Everlasting joy shall be theirs, for I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth and will make with them an everlasting covenant. That's the new covenant right there. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles. Where do these Gentiles, these strangers, these foreigners come from? Israel's back in the land. They have a double portion, the inheritance of the firstborn. They're the priests of the Lord. And yet they're being served by strangers and foreigners. Where do those people come from? These are the rest of the dead. They've been resurrected to life after the 1,000 years. So we're talking about the eighth day here, the eighth millennium. These are the nations of Revelation chapter 20. Originally, the firstborn of family, of clan, inherited a double portion. That's Deuteronomy 22, verse 17. And before the Lord limited the priesthood to the family of Aaron, the inheritance of the firstborn included the priesthood. Each firstborn son would become the representative of his family unit before God. Remember, God said, Israel is my firstborn. It's Exodus 4, verse 22. If Israel is God's firstborn, then Israel will inherit the priesthood and a double portion in the land. All the dots are connected. It makes sense. Israel redeemed will serve as the priesthood for the nations who will be resurrected after 1,000 years at the end of the seventh millennium. We have been going for 40 minutes now. So let's take a break for a few moments and come back. This subject is so deep and so wide. Let me just mention that I have not covered in this recording every single point made in the written study, so I would invite you to read through that written study on this topic, A Kingdom of Priests. I'm trying to hit the most important points. All right, we'll see you back for part two of A Kingdom of Priests. I am Rachel Corey, and this is Prophecy Viewpoint.